Here with Bobby Asadorian, the man behind the book, A Contractor You Can Bring Home to Mom. I can't speak to every aspect of that, Bobby.
How are you today, John?
I'm good. How are you?
Terrific, terrific. Actually, mentioning the book,
yeah,
we just officially, finally, got invited as of yesterday, Canada AM, Monday, July 27th.
Ah.
Now, I'm not sure the time yet. I've got that back at the office, but it's really exciting. Cool. This will be our second time for Trevor and myself to be on television. The previous one was CTV.
Right.
So we're going to get a chance to go on there, get a little bit of an interview, talk about the book. Again, sales are picking up.
Good.
And the most important part is, again, every cent to the March of Dimes.
Yes.
Help people with barrier-free home improvements of all types.
And this you put together with Trevor Bouchard, and
yes,
it's all about the new breed of contractors and what you should know before your next home renovation. We've certainly touched on a number of things in the book before. So you got some questions and stuff you want to answer today?
Yes, yes. Actually, we had a few things come into the website. One that I found really interesting was, and this is from Stephen Burlington.
Okay.
Dear Bob, I'm considering replacing my home's front door. What's better, foam weather stripping or magnetic weather stripping when replacing a pre-hung new door?
Now, that would depend on the kind of door, would it not?
Oh, exactly. And I'm thinking of that exactly as I was reading it. He didn't mention whether it's now, actually for the last few years, the doors are now being made fiberglass.
Right.
Well, they're still, you know, the tri-tested and proven steel ones are around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to be quite honest, I've yet to install a fiberglass one. I've looked at them, and what I find amazing about them is that they can take a stain. Now, I've seen them done in a few places, and it's just beautiful. You can actually stain them, which this gives you a choice now.
Sure.
However, no more magnetic. I mean, you cannot, you know, use anything magnetic,
right,
on the fiberglass
door.
There's
no steel in the door.
Exactly. Now, about no steel in the door. Now, how strong is it or how well will it hold up against a forced entry, somebody
right.
kicking it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, if you just break down the system of magnetic versus foam, you know, it's very strange. I've Googled it, you know, at least 5-6 pages of information on there. It's sort of 50-50 split, but a great many contractors I've talked to, they seem to prefer the foam. Now, the foam, again, there's different ones. There's better and best, but with the foam, it's just simply a compression fit. You know, a little bit of a better foam will sort of last longer. But I don't know. I mean, myself, I would have to insist on magnetic. I think nothing's better than that. I mean, I've been installing these now for about 12 years. The way I pitch it to homeowners, I give it the comparison to their refrigerator. And I won't be able to do that now with the fiberglass doors.
Right.
I mean, I tell everybody, your refrigerator doesn't leak. As the fridge door is closing, you know, you feel that suction, or at least if the fridge is plumbed right and level.
Yes, that's
very
important.
No, it's very important. I mean, the door will almost pull itself in. It's magnetic. It seals. It's done. And if you've ever looked at the magnetic weather strip, I mean, it's about almost a half inch to it. It squishes in it as well, so it's got some compression.
It actually got a little bit of a snap to it, too,
yeah,
if it fits
yeah,
properly.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think personally that's the best.
Yeah.
But you can only get that, again, with a metal door. Now, for the fiberglass door, I mean, it's a little lighter, but I mean, I wouldn't say that's a positive or a negative.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the only choice with that is compression. So, I mean, you really have to look at it long term. Is it something you'd be happy with just painting? Possibly steel entry door would be fine. Is it a must that you stain it, possibly to match the interior baseboards if your home's got a lot of wood in it?
Or your trim, all
Or your trim. But as far as durability, you know, again, it's sort of, you know, an unknown. I mean, unless you install both and you kick them both in. You know, as far as warranty, they seem to be fine, again, depending who the manufacturer is. But I've looked into it, and, you know, some of the good manufacturers or the better ones still offer 10-year warranty on both, some of them lifetime. So, you know, it's interesting that way. But, Steve, I hope I've helped answer your question. If not, please, you know, send me an email at the website. Once again, it's www.RRINCcontracting.ca. Or simply, easier if it's for most, just give us a call, 289-649-0196.
And if you happen to be listening right now, Steve, you can call us at 905-645-3200 or toll-free 1-877-820-2426. As a matter of fact, whoever you are, if you've got a question for Bobby,
exactly,
you know,
not only on doors, windows, fencing projects, whatever's going on.
Sure, absolutely. Siding. Maybe you're putting new siding on your house this summer. Who knows?
Use screws. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And would you ever, at this point in your career, would you ever go back to, say, a cedar shingle or that kind of a house? Or would you stick with siding or brick?
I would stick with siding or brick. I mean, even my new home now, and again, I didn't have the choice, but it's so funny. Sitting in my backyard yesterday, you know how these surveys are. You can see all the homes behind. We're looking at all the homes behind us, you know, at least 20, 30 homes. One of them stood out because it had brick. Yeah. It was brick all the way up. I mean, you know how these homes are built now, especially with the rear and the sides. Mm-hmm. You get brick halfway up, and then you get siding.
That's right.
I mean, I was looking at the home, and it really stood out again. And I'd spoken to the homeowner at one point, and, you know, it was approximately it's a $10,000 upgrade.
Yes.
So for $10,000 more, you can eliminate vinyl from your home, and it's a brick throughout. Mm-hmm. Now, is it worth the money? I believe so. I've talked to real estate agents about it, and, you know, they seem to state, you know, everything's generalization. Your home will the value that your home will take is generally what the neighboring homes are going for. But again, I don't believe that. I believe that if your home's a little unique, I mean, sure, you know, you can't drop $100,000 in marble and ceramics in your home and try to sell for another $100,000.
That's right.
But if you had $10,000 worth of upgrades in bricks, I think it's plausible you'll get some of it back because mm-hmm. it helps. Now, again, my own home, if I had the opportunity, if I had the chance, I would have paid the money. I like stucco. Stucco's nice in the front. Mm-hmm. I mean, stucco gives it a touch of class. Just above the garage, we've got some stucco, so there's no siding on the front.
How does it stand up, though, weather-wise?
Well, good thing it's untouchable. Good thing the kids' balls will keep away from it.
Right.
Stucco, I firmly disagree with doing an entire home that way. Mm-hmm. Now, many builders, many people argue with me there, but I've seen, especially in my area, where the entire home, top to bottom, four sides is stucco, it will not hold up. And even in some of those homes, they're only 2 or 3 years old. I've already seen some signs of aging. Mm-hmm. You know, southern climates, California and the States, it's fine. But over here, you know, brick, block, stone, I believe is the best building material for the exterior. You won't get anything better than brick, block, or stone.
Because you've always got to worry about contraction and expansion
exactly.
around here.
Exactly. Staining also.
Changing seasons.
Yeah, for some reason, around the eaves troughs, around the windows, maybe for some strange reason, because those products, none of them should leave rust streaks.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, it's not often, but I'll see some streaking. So I don't know what's hit it. Or what's, you know, it's had a reaction with the rain or the water, but you see this little bit of streaking on it. And again, if it's in the low areas of the home, you know, a kid throwing a ball on it, even somebody, you know, leaning an object on it, it will break. And actually, even just outside of the mall at Eastgate, outside one of the entrances, I can see it. Somebody's damaged up the corner, mm-hmm. and it's not that old. And you can see right away the blue or the yellow mesh underneath. So, I mean, if you're going to have it, you know, a little bit looks nice, gives it a little bit of a contrast. In my case, it's above the garage, small area, you know, gives it a nice look against the brick.
Right.
But again, as far as that home and behind, it really stands out. He paid the extra. He's 100% brick. Now, I don't know about the front because he's my neighbor behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Never had the chance to look at the front, but the front, most builders wouldn't touch siding on the front. You see, it's almost considered a low-class finish, because if you look at these homes,
What, full brick?
Well, a siding.
Oh, siding.
If you look at these homes, they won't put it anywhere near the front. You know, on the front, they'll have the brick, they'll have stone, they'll have stucco, and then where they put in the siding is the upper halves of the sides and, of course, the rear. Now, the exception to that, there is some really fancy siding. They'll put a little bit of it on the front. It's not your typical vinyl siding. I don't know if you've seen it in your survey. It's got the little circle loops at the bottom.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen that one at all. The bottom's literally like something like that.
All right.
For the listeners today, I just drew out a picture for John
here.
Looks like
a series of W's.
Yeah, looks like a series of W's. I mean, it's a little on the fancier side, so I've seen a little bit of that on the front of the homes. But, I mean, again, the siding maintenance is required, especially considering it's been put on with nails.
Yeah.
Within 5-10 years, maybe a little longer, you'll have to do some work to it. You know, it could crack from the weather. Whereas brick, I mean, you know, if we look at the older Hamilton homes, they're taking the double brick, the reclaimed brick, they're calling it, reclaimed double brick. They're taking it out of century-old homes. You know, out in Ancaster and in the nice areas, they're spending a fortune. And it's not usually a mass builder. Again, it's the people that buy the lot and build themselves the custom home. They're taking century-old brick, putting it back in a modern home.
And you've got to get somebody who does really good point work to do that sort of thing, too. A master, and a lot of times a master builder has to be able to do your brickwork for you because he's worked with that kind of, you know, the mortar has changed. All that stuff has changed.
Well, everything's changed. That brick doesn't have the three holes in it, but it is a stronger brick. Ever since the 70s, I believe it was, when they changed over to the brick that has the three holes in it. See, the engineering background of that does have some validity. Their theory is, if you ever watch anybody laying brick, as they're laying the brick and they're sandwiching the mortar on top, the mortar falls into the holes and it keys itself to the brick on top. So it locks itself.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, because the face isn't that thick, spalling happens, and it's very common on chimneys. The face will chip off. That brick, since the 70s, is not half as strong as the stuff that was reclaimed. The reclaimed brick was just a solid brick. The only masonry holding it was in between.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, the proof's in the pudding. They're demolishing century-year-old homes, taking it out, putting it in new homes.
It probably took a little bit longer to put up, too.
A little bit more work. You know, it's heavier brick, but I love the look. I don't know if you've seen it on any of those homes, but you have such an amazing contrast. The old brick against the modern bay windows, the beautiful new doors, new shingles, new eavesdrops.
Oh, it's a different color. It's everything.
Yeah, different color. But it's just the fact of old complementing the new on these nice homes, and it's just amazing.
For me, there are the two looks. I'm not a big fan of the combination of brick and vinyl. I like all vinyl or all brick. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the two looks that I like of homes. I don't mind an all vinyl home. I think it looks fine.
My parents are in one, and I mean, it's a nice home. But it was actually an insobrick home. So it's kind of funny. The home was originally built to mimic or copy brick, mm-hmm. and then that was taken off, and then vinyl siding was put on to mimic the look of wood siding.
Sure.
So with these synthetic products now, I mean, everything's trying to copy what's natural, which again would be brick. What do you think of stone?
That's why I love stone.
Stone is nice. Stone looks nice, especially if they can blend a little bit in on the front of the home.
Yeah.
Stone's beautiful.
Well, the reason I asked you about cedar shingles is that is one look that I really like. I really like the look of cedar shingles, but it's serious maintenance.
I wouldn't say very much is installed at all. I mean, the older century-old Hamilton homes have it, but pretty well asphalt shingles, especially now the fiberglass style, that's really dominating the market. Metal's making a big, big chase against the asphalt and the fiberglass.
Well, look what they're doing with roofing, too. I mean, metal roofing is really taking a hold as well.
I've never been in a home during a rainstorm, but I wonder how much louder it is. I mean, that's the one negative aspect people are kicking around. But again, I've never been inside of one to hear it, but they say possibly it's you hear the thumping on the second floor.
Well, they probably have some insular qualities that they also provide with.
Probably with the better ones. Yeah. See, I would guess, again, I'm not experienced with the metal roofing, but I would guess you get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably several different cost factors with good, better, best. And I'm sure the more expensive ones, probably they may have a little strip of foam there that would act as an insulator.
Probably a few grades up above tin.
Yeah.
it's 12:43. We can take your questions at 905-645-3200 or 1-877-820-2426, #820 on Bell Mobility. Coming back with more on Experts on Call with Just Ask Bob from Hamilton's all-new talk station, Talk 820. It is 12:47, Experts on Call, Just Ask Bob, 905-645-3200, 1-877-820-2426, or #820 on your Bell Mobility phone. And taking your questions, but also answering some from any number of sources. You get some at your website, you get some from Silver and Gold Magazine, where you also run a column there. What do you got on your...
Well, the Silver and Gold column, the latest issue just came out, actually about 2 weeks ago.
Right.
It's the July-August issue, and I did a column about eavesdrops.
Ah, okay.
Now, the question that came in was, what are the various types, materials that are used currently that are popular for eavesdrops?
Mm-hmm.
Now, simply, I can break it down into three, I believe. The best, which I recommend and that I actually use myself, is seamless aluminum.
Yeah.
Seamless aluminum is exactly what the name says. It's seamless. Except obviously, where the downspouts connect. But seamless aluminum, the longest we ever did was a home in Oakville, and it was just under 70 feet. So there was a series of us on little ladders. There was about six or seven of us. I mean, the stuff's fragile. I kid and joke with people and tell them it's possibly three or four times the thickness of your typical kitchen foil. I mean, it's a little thicker than that.
Yeah.
But again, for manufacturing reasons, it is thin stuff, so it has to be installed carefully. But it's seamless. You won't have any leaks because there's no joints. And that's what people want to get away from.
Basically, you measure and cut on site.
Exactly. Exactly. The machine arrives and we form it, cut it on site. The other one now that's also aluminum, however, it's in sections. It's sectional aluminum, you can call it per se. It's 10-footers. All the big box stores carry it. Now, again, if you've got a shed or a real small area, I mean, generally there's nothing in it that's going to be close to 10 feet, but they only come in 10-footers. So, again, there's a special way you have to seam them together.
Right.
And, I mean, they're not going to leak today or tomorrow, but they will leak at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, this one's popular for the do-it-yourself.
Do you glue it or crimp it? How do you...
Well, the seamless one, actually, it's glued and you crimp it slightly as well.
Okay.
The glue's more of a sealant, similar to what you'd use on the joints for even the seamless ones.
Sure.
But again, there's so many seams. And I mean, you look at a home that's 30, 40 feet plus, that's three or four seams each side.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just too many seams. But again, for affordability issues or, whatever the issue may be, the big box store readily has them available. A lot of people pick them up from there and it's not that big a deal to install them, as long as you're not two stories or three plus up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other type that I don't recommend at all is plastic.
PVC stuff.
Yeah, the PVC stuff. There's actually a couple different trade names for it. It gets glued together. Now, I don't really have any issues with the glue because, I mean, I do a lot of plumbing. I do a lot of gluing with ABS and PVC pipe. Mm-hmm. And it's really not a glue as much as a welding compound. You know, when I'm putting two lengths of ABS together, you dab it with the glue and you put it together. You don't have a split second to readjust it. It actually burns and fuses itself together. Mm. So, again, I've never worked with the plastic or PVC eavesdropping, but from what I understand, it's a similar, more than just a glue. It sort of fuses it. So I wouldn't have the issue with the joints. However, I would have the issues with it cracking. Many, many I've pulled the stuff off of homes and done my seamless eavesdrops. The stuff does crack and break pretty well, you know, very, very low quality stuff. You know, it just doesn't make any sense.
It's just fragile comparatively.
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's still, I mean, you're still buying it. You're still up there. You're still installing it. It's not that much more. You mm-hmm. know, I would suggest all homeowners get a quote on that. Upgrade to have somebody make them seamless. And if you can't afford it, at least take one step up and go to the 10-foot sections, which, you know, from the big box store that you can put on yourself.
Now, you were telling me just as we were about to get into this topic that there's also copper out there?
Yes. Yes, there's also copper. Again, I've never worked with it, but from what I understand, there's two types of copper. There's a true copper, which is real copper. Mm-hmm. Then there's an interesting one, which is copper-colored aluminum.
Oh, really?
Yep. It's literally aluminum, and they've baked it at the factory. They've colored it to copper. Now, what's interesting about that one is it's always going to hold its color. However, there's no soldering. You can't treat it like copper piping.
Right.
That,
yeah.
I assume, again, would just crimp together, possibly, you know, different methods of fastening it. But the true real copper, just gorgeous stuff. The life expectancy should be at least double of what seamless aluminum eavesdrops are. And the nice thing, from what I understand of copper, the older it gets, the more beautiful it looks. It takes on its own weathered look.
Sure, like a patina. It would
yeah,
have,
exactly.
Yeah.
But very expensive. I would guesstimate that it could probably exceed 5 times the cost of even the premium upgraded seamless aluminum.
Wow.
So very expensive stuff. But if you're having any aluminum work done, ask your contractor if he's got the aluminum copper-colored seamless aluminum. So, I mean, you'll still have part of the look.
Right.
Makes a lot of sense.
And if it's, however, it's probably not going to be that the seamless aluminum copper color is not going to give it any more strength than the seamless aluminum.
No, not any more strength or even any more life expectancy, but what
right.
a beautiful color.
Yeah.
Now, if you had to see one on a home, I think that would look really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful stuff.
But and the copper is going to last you much longer because of the gauge, right?
Exactly.
It's going to be much thicker.
Much thicker. Much thicker. I don't even have any idea how they've made that on site, but it has to be a different machine. Everything has to be different about it because we're talking a lot thicker in the gauge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're paying for.
Yeah, you
and
think about the pipes that are under your sink.
Yeah.
Right, or through your basement, your water pipes, that's what it's going to
look like.
We hear
in the media all the time about copper being stolen from construction sites, copper being taken, you know, about how it's priceless considering its weight.
Very expensive.
So you can imagine now how the cost, you know, how it gets to where it is for that type of eavesdrop.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. So, okay, so there are some options. Now, insofar as the question was the question about the different kinds of materials?
Yes, definitely, different
yeah.
types of materials. And if I could only add to it, again, I have no idea this home, if it's an old home, a modern home. But the point, too, is definitely have your contractor look at if you have aluminum fascia. I just went to go look at two homes this week where, again, they're older homes up on the mountain, but they have fascia and soffit, but it's wood. So these homes haven't been updated yet. So, I mean, originally every home has to have a soffit or a fascia, but these old wood ones, you have to make sure the eavesdrop is only as good as what it's fastened to.
Mm-hmm.
So if your wooden fascia has rot in it, definitely replace the boards. It's very important to replace them. And at the same time, even if you can't afford putting aluminum soffit over your wood soffit, at least have the contractor or the person involved put on aluminum fascia for you. Because one big problem is we've done a lot of homes where the eavesdrop's perfect, but again, they want us to dress up the home with aluminum, and we explain to them we can do the soffit, but we can't do it on your fascia unless we take your eavesdrop off.
Right.
And in most cases, well, pretty well all cases, flat out, if I'm taking off eavesdrop, I'm installing my new stuff.
It's going to fall apart.
Yeah, it just makes a mess of it.
Yeah.
It's important. I mean, wood was the only material they had. Aluminum didn't really exist back then for that application.
As I've told you earlier, we, you know, on my old house in Nova Scotia, we actually had, you know, wooden eaves troughs.
I would love to have seen those. I've read about them. I've heard about them. That's tell them what you told me about the connection between the eaves trough and the downspout.
Basically, it was a wooden eaves trough, and obviously, you know, whatever was used to make it waterproof, or at least as close to waterproof as you can get wood. And,
for
of course,
wood.
obviously wooden soffit and fascia as well. And when I took this stuff off, I got to tell you, there was some green wood in there.
Oh, I can imagine.
It did not look good. It was just falling apart in my hands. However, that it had a metal pipe.
Sort of an insert sleeve.
Yeah, and not that large, maybe about a 1.5 inch, 2 inch diameter at the very most. It came out and then down into the downspout, which was then it was a sleeve inside a wooden, you know, a square wooden column.
How old did you peg those to be, or the home in general?
Oh gosh, the home at the time, I guess probably would have been about 100 years old.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah. If you look at the engineering behind that, who came up with that brave idea of using wood for eaves troughs? But, I mean, again, aluminum, sure, it existed in some form or fashion, but everything changes in homes. I mean, from double brick to single brick veneer.
That's right.
All exterior claddings, especially windows, being wood. Now we've gone the vinyl, maintenance-free, aluminum for other accessories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm fascinated by old homes.
There's a lot less, you know, at the time, maybe some wrought iron might have been used throughout your house, or steel would have been used throughout your house, but that all got replaced as well when we found more economical ways to use metal.
Exactly. Now, while we're on aluminum, just one final thing, even here for the individual that wrote in the silver and gold. A lot of these homes that I'm installing the aluminum soffit on, again, picture the aluminum soffit. There's two types. There's solid and there's ventilated. Now, new home construction, anything in the last 20 years, there is no wood on the soffit. Builder leaves that end open. So then when the aluminum goes in, it's ventilated, and you've got that beautiful draw, that air coming in and getting out the roof vents.
Right.
Now, with a lot of these older Hamilton homes, especially on the mountain, you see the wood soffit. Every 7 or 8 feet, you see a little little metal grill that's screwed in. Now, underneath that, the soffit's been cut out. So you have to remember when you're put – I've seen too many contractors put the solid soffit all throughout. I mean, now you have nothing.
No ventilation.
Nothing. No ventilation at all.
You've got a rotting attic at that point.
We did a home last month. It was we did the whole home, but they had a carport, beautifully made carport. But there was a part of the carport where there was a lot of rotten mildew. So what I did in that case, my original instinct was to get a 4-inch hole saw bit and just cut out a whole bunch of holes through that soffit to increase the flow. And then I thought to myself, why bother? I just ripped out the wood soffit. Broke it, bashed it, pulled it out completely, just for the carport front and back.
Mm-hmm.
Then in that section, I installed complete ventilated, perforated aluminum soffit, and also two turbine roof vents. And those are beautiful. Actually, there wasn't even any wind that day. They were spinning from when I installed them to when I left because of the heat escaping.
Sure.
I mean, when I cut through the roof and leaned down, the heat coming out of there, you couldn't believe it. That's what was causing the rotten mildew.
Yeah.
Because just the heat pulling up was making the vent spin.
Had nowhere to go.
Yeah, they're beautiful units. So their carport will breathe now, and it should be good for a long, long time.
Excellent. We're out of time.
I can't believe where it goes. You know, we really need an hour. We've got to talk to the upper-ups. We really need an hour.
We have to have somebody standing in the doorway pointing at their watch.
Pointing at a watch. I know. John, as always, it was a blast.
It was great to have you here.
It's a privilege, and I'm pleased to come in every 2 weeks.
Let's give out that website one more time.
Yes, definitely. www.RRINCcontracting.ca. Please send us all your questions or call them in. 289-649-0196.
Excellent. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
2 more weeks.
All right. That's Experts on Call for a Friday big show coming up just after our 1 o'clock news on Hamilton's all-new talk station, Talk 820.